Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR 96.3, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, we are a week away from Election Day. And so we're asking the question or questions about what issues are driving you to the polls this election season. Now, many of us have gotten an early start during this past week with early voting. Tonight, we have our political experts who will help us go down the list of the concerns that many of you may have, or at least some of the issues that they see are at the forefront of this election season. We'd want you to be part of this conversation. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. On the line with us tonight is Dr. Ravi Perry. He's the chair of the Department of Political Science at Howard University. Again, phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Also joining us is Reese Colbert. She's the founder of Black Women Views, and she's also a political analyst. Dr. Perry, I'm going to start with you. Sort of the broader question. First of all, always great to have you with us.
Great to be with you.
Dr. Perry, what's driving folks to the polls? Is it one particular issue? I think I know the answer to that, but what are your thoughts on what will get people out this election season here up to November 8th?
Well, it's apparent that the polls indicate that what matters to many voters is inflation, a.k.a. the economy, their pocketbook, gas prices, mortgage rates being extremely high. And those are very important, pressing issues to all Americans. Typically, what we see in midterms is that the party in power and the executive power in the White House loses seats in Congress. It is expected that to be the case, certainly for the House of Representatives, but possibly for the U.S. Senate. And so what's on people's minds are the economy, although I would encourage people to be also equally concerned, if not greater concerned, about the democratic nature of our country, and that some of the people running for office this election season, for the first time in all of our lifetimes, are running for offices across the country, particularly in Secretary of State positions, that don't believe in elections themselves, and that if those individuals are elected, then we will be in a world of trouble, regardless of what your partisanship may be. So economies are number one on people's minds, but democracy and maintaining democracy is the number two thing.
And Dr. Perry, I think you make an interesting point, especially on the local and state level. And you mentioned the role of the Secretary of State. And most folks, you know, outside of the U.S. Secretary of State, probably pay very little attention to that position statewide. Why is the Secretary of State position within a state so important and integral to elections?
Well, so in a couple of states, like in Pennsylvania, for example, the Secretary of State is an appointed position, and it's a nonpartisan position. And so there, that's a handful of states. But in most states, it's an elected position. And if you're going to elect someone that has a Democrat behind their name or Republican behind their name. And it's clear, regardless of your ideological preferences, that this election season, the Republicans have been very effective at the local and state level in putting up candidates who do test whether or not the democratic system that we all hold dear of voting, the equal voice and vote, the one person, one vote model that has been the bedrock of our democracy since our Constitution was ratified in 1789, that is actually genuinely in peril on this election. It's not hyperbole, and it's clear that the Secretary of State position that Republicans have invested millions and millions of dollars in, along with many of their associated PACs, is where they are attempting to hold on to power. Remember, they did very good with this effort in the early 2000s as related to taking over state legislatures that historically in the latter part of the 20th century was mostly Democratic. Now, two-thirds of our state legislatures are controlled by Republicans as well. That's because of the very good effort they have done in the last 20 years in investing in local and state elections. We need people, regardless of your partisanship, to show up to the polls, if you haven't voted already, regardless of what state you're in, and in the District of Columbia, and in our related islands, Northern Mariana Islands, of course, America, Guam, Puerto Rico as well. All these elections matter. Every vote counts. We've seen it where elections in Virginia just a couple years ago were decided by one or two votes. And so your vote matters, but this is a season where in the event that Secretary of State across most states are taken over by people who are election deniers, people who are January 6th insurrection supporters, and believe nothing was wrong with that, then we will all not just be perhaps disappointed on November 8th. We will be in for a world of trouble. And so I hope people are paying attention to that. This is not a unique election season. As a reminder, we've never had, not us who are living today, not our parents, not their parents, not their parents. We've never seen a 50-50 U.S. Senate in any of our lifetimes. And so this is a very perilous election. We've seen in the last just 3 or 4 years how the Supreme Court changed dramatically, tilted to the right, affecting all kinds of issues. They're handling cases now in affirmative action. They obviously rejected in the Dobbs decision Roe versus Wade. And so these are a lot of things that are on people's mind. And this is the time to show up and vote and make your voices be heard.
And again, it's worth mentioning that the Secretary of State in states usually have jurisdiction over elections, and that makes that position even more important, as Dr. Perry had mentioned. Reese Colbert, founder of Black Women Views, also a political analyst. Black women, we know, were critical in the 2020 presidential elections and also statewide. What's your thoughts on this election season? What might be driving folks to the polls? And if you want to be specific about Black women, feel free to take it there as well.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I agree with Dr. Perry. Obviously, the economy and the inflation are the top issues for voters. And unfortunately for Democrats, Republicans have an unearned reputation of being good on the economy. When we look back at what they've done, as obstructionists in both and the Senate, we've seen that they've blocked the extension of the child tax credit where almost every family that was eligible received $500 for their children. They blocked the Inflation Reduction Act, which means that they've blocked insulin being capped at $35 a month for the entire country, as opposed to just Medicare recipients. They're running on gutting Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. But for Black women specifically, abortion rights are a big deal. Reproductive rights are a big deal. Black women have three times the maternal mortality rate as our white counterparts. And we have a lot of issues that are specific to our community, like fibroids is something that impacts Black women disproportionately. And so Black women are looking at what the parties are doing in terms of health care. Republicans are trying to make health care harder to access, in addition to what they're doing to try to make reproductive rights harder to access. And of course, our concerns are the economy. So we have a variety of issues that we're focused on, but I also have to shout out Black men, because Black men are the second highest Democratic voting bloc. And I think that Black men were seeing larger numbers of the vote share in Georgia this election, I think, with what's happening with Herschel Walker and Senator Raphael Warnock down there. So I think that we're very much in tune, but I just hope that we're taking away the right policy priorities in which parties are truly going to have our best interests in mind.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And just a little addendum to my introduction to Dr. Perry. He is the former chair of the Department of Political Science at Howard University, but we still like to give you that title, Dr. Perry. So congratulations on maybe having a little bit more time for yourself and for us to share your views and expertise on the political scene. So we thank you for that. Dr. Perry, Ms. Colbert had mentioned this. She mentioned Black men. There's been a narrative, I've been seeing this and watching this on the news, and especially in the last week, there was a broad conversation about the issue of Black men. And there was this sort of narrative that Black men were disengaged from this year's elections. But then when you saw Black intellectuals talking about this, they said, wait a minute. No, Black men are voting at large numbers. And where is this narrative coming from? What are your thoughts on that? Is there any empirical evidence that shows it one way or the other?
Well, yes. To be clear, we obviously do series of polls, and polling has gotten better since the snafus in 2016 and 2020, and there's always a margin of error in polls, so we shouldn't listen so much to polls. We should listen to our own interests and vote accordingly. But the polls have indicated that, for example, there is a gap in enthusiasm for African Americans in general this election, and that is mostly driven by men. Women have been outperforming, black women in particular, have been outperforming what has been expected of them in recent elections at the presidential level every 4 years and during midterms, as we saw 4 years ago beginning in the Virginia state Senate races. And so we have seen the significance that black women play and the role that they play, particularly in enclaves where there are heightened representation of minorities, let's say in the Atlanta region, for example, or the Detroit region, or the Charlotte region, or the Baltimore and D.C. region, where black voters can have a huge impact simply by showing up on what happens to those states and those surrounding states. And so here's why this is important. Most black voters live in states controlled by political interests of whom blacks themselves do not mostly align with. What am I saying? Most blacks live in Republican-controlled states. And so, but those city centers in those states are places where blacks can drive out turnout. So I'm a native of Ohio. Ohio has six major cities. All of those are majority white cities for the most part. Cleveland's a bit close, 50-50, black and white. But for the most part, so is Dayton. It's a majority white city. Same thing, I'm in Florida right now where I'm calling from. In Tampa, where, you know, Val Demings is up for the U.S. Senate running against Marco Rubio. And it's cities, five major cities in Florida, Jacksonville, Tampa, Miami, Orlando, obviously Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers, et cetera. All these major cities where if people who live in cities, most of whom are minorities, people of color, women, people who are single, and young people who are transient, college students, et cetera, if they show up, then the concerns that many have about our democracy being in peril will not be a concern. But this is really an election that people are encouraged to participate. And yes, we should be concerned about the enthusiasm gap. In general, people vote less during midterms. And this particular election, we've done the polling. And yes, black folks are less enthusiastic this time than they were in prior times. And that is concerning for any coalition, but certainly for the Democratic coalition, of whom, of course, 90% of African Americans still align themselves with. Remember, in the last election, I'll end with this, black men voted more in 2020 for Donald Trump than they did in 2016. So black men have been participating, but haven't always been following the historic standard of black folks in general, mainly driven by black women turnout, who have been a stalwart support for the Democratic Party. And in this instance, whether you support Democrats or Republicans, we just need you to show up, because in the absence of showing up, your vote is being counted by someone else who did show up in your place.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about the issues that may be driving folks to the polls. We want to hear what issues are at the forefront of you that will send you to the voting booth between now and November 8th. Let's go to the phone lines. Teresa is calling from Reston, Virginia. Go right ahead, Teresa, with your question or your comment.
Good evening. I'm calling from Virginia, and I have voted. I voted the very first day, the first hour. My concern is democracy, full stop. And the economy, it always works itself out. My concern is that if we lose democracy, then in 10 years, we'll be back in a 1955 state. Black folk, we're already on the brink of not having democracy at all times. But if we lose this democracy, it's a wrap. It's done. So I'm trying to sound the alarm with anybody that is within the earshot of me. The economy, it always works itself out. But if they just hang in there, and I'm not saying the Democrats are perfect, But if you vote Democrat, you will see that within a year, and I know a lot of people said they can't hold on for a year, but would you rather hold on for a year, or would you rather in 10 years we'll be back to 1955? And I love you guys' show. I just want to hear what Dr. Perry and what Reese has to say. And you all have a good evening. Thank you.
You too. Thank you so much, Teresa, for your comments. Reese, you know, Dr. Perry has already said that, you know, democracy is on the line this voting season. Are most folks getting that? Because most folks, you know, they vote pocketbook concerns. So I want to ask you when we come back from the break, if you feel like democracy is on the line and if people are actually getting that. As I said, we're going to take a quick break. Don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on your WHUR.com, or you can download it on the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone line, stay right there. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. We're talking about the elections, midterm elections, nationally, local elections coming up November 8th, even though early voting has already begun. Reese Colbert, founder of Black Women Views and a political analyst, I had asked before we jumped over to the SiriusXM channel side whether or not you believe democracy is on the ballot and if most folks see it that way, or are they just looking at particular issues that are relevant to them?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not trying to sound hysterical here, but this is potentially our last, and I will say this relatively, free and fair election. Because what we have is we have over 100 Republican election deniers, and they're running up and down the ballot. They're running for Congress, which certifies the presidential election. They're running for Senate, which also plays a role. They're running for governor. They're running for Secretary of State. And these folks have already been very clear that they may or may not adhere to the will of the people. We saw in the 2020 election where Black voters in particular were targeted with laser-like precision and just trying to throw out the Black votes in Philadelphia or in Wisconsin. And so this really truly is our last stand. Because we did not have a filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, and because they were not willing, you had two Democratic senators that were not willing to get rid of the filibuster for voting rights, we were not able to enshrine federal protections. And right now the Supreme Court is actually looking to further gut the Voting Rights Act. And so if we want to have some semblance of national citizenship as opposed to your ability to influence elections being determined by whether you live in a blue state or a red state, then we have to make sure that we vote accordingly in this election. And to me, the good news is that you can vote your economic interests, you can vote your healthcare interests, you can vote your interest for climate change and a number of things, and still vote for the people that are going to protect voting rights. And the last thing I'll say is we've already seen Republicans in power like Ron DeSantis, who gerrymandered away two Black districts in Florida. That is what the game plan is all across the country. And so this is very serious because we only saw democracy, and I put that in air quotes, hold up because people that were in power adhered to the processes of the elections. And that is not necessarily going to be the case if we allow the wrong people to get in power this time.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is the Insight segment, and tonight we're talking about the issues that may be important to you, what's sending you to the polls this year if you've already voted, what's on your mind if you haven't voted, what are you thinking about, and if you plan not to vote, why not? 202-319-7810. Dr. Perry, when the Supreme Court reversed Roe v. Wade, many saw this as an opportunity for Democrats maybe to reverse that historic trend when the party not in the presidential office sort of, you know, tends to take over and pick up seats in Congress. Have you seen that kind of movement wane based on that issue of importance, or is that still kind of murmuring under the radar? What's your thoughts there?
Well, we should be clear. I identify as a man, and as a man, I will say that hopefully if people understand that abortion rights are human rights, and everyone should be concerned with the access that every human being has to have private conversations with their doctor, and to not have to have a city council member as the Senate candidate on the Republican side of Pennsylvania suggested should be in every woman's and doctor's decision room when they're deciding what's best for her care. That just simply cannot be. Not only is that archaic and ridiculous, it's against our constitutional norms and our obligation as citizens. Remember, you know, what's great about being a person of African descent is that we know that the country did not originally count us fairly, that we were counted originally, right, as 3/5 for representational purposes, for the purpose of extending the representation of slave states in the Constitution. We know that women weren't even referenced in the Constitution. We know that poor white men who did not own property weren't even included as well. And yet we have to move beyond all of that and understand that we have an obligation. It's our citizenship responsibility. It's because of the 14th Amendment that was ratified in 1868 that we all have that citizenship right of due process, equal protection of the laws, and the right to participate. And yes, it took another 100 years of second-class citizenship and for us to fight through the civil rights era in the mid-1960s to get bills passed that really made good on the promise of the 14th Amendment. Ever since 1965, we have had, for the most part, equal opportunity aside from the traditional forms of very egregious voter suppression that has been in existence since its inception that has tried to prevent African Americans from voting. But that cannot be the reason why we do not vote. We have to understand that, disappointed as we may be in a particular political party, in a particular political candidate, that when we go to the polls, it's our obligation to vote for our interests. Think about what matters to you and your family, you and your children, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews. So those of you like me who maybe don't have children, what type of world do you want them to wake up into when they become of age? And this is an election where we have a chance to make the decision. Let's remember what happens when we don't participate. Go back to 2016. Remember when Hillary and Donald Trump election and Russia was negatively influencing black people? They spent millions of dollars. Russia spent millions of dollars to ensure that black folks were lied to about Hillary Clinton and were duped to believe that she did this, did that, had a body double, was killing people in a pizza parlor in New York. I mean, all these ridiculous lies that have been furthered by our misinformation and disinformation. Elon Musk taking over Twitter. Just this past weekend, he retweeted a lie from a fake newspaper that does not exist, trying to suggest that what is not true is in fact true. And the only way you stop this, this is not new. I just hope that young people know this. I certainly tell my students at Howard this regularly, that this is not new under the sun. Voter suppression is going to be there. It's there for our parents. It was there for their parents and so on and so forth. It will be there for our children. That's not a reason not to participate. We have to show up, even if you feel as though your vote is not counted, even if you feel as though the party is not doing the best for you, you're not getting the best responses from either party you may be a member of. But this is a chance for you to turn up and say, hey, I have a right to vote. People died for me to have that right. I'm going to exercise that right. If I have to stand in line for 8 hours, if I have to get arrested in Georgia because I'm passing out water, if I have to, you know, cancel my opportunity to potentially do something else on that Tuesday night, then that's what needs to happen. Because democracy, as was said, is something that is extremely at peril in this election. This is not hyperbole. This is not dramatic. We have seen it in live and living color, and we've seen it in some ways, in more stark ways, than our forebears and our ancestors. And so this is our chance to make a mark on history in the next week and say this type of democracy, alleged democracy that others want to continue or want to say should be changed, is not the type of democracy that is of the American spirit, but it certainly is not part of the Black experience. And the only way we can compete against this is, yes, by rallying and fighting within parties and making institutions better. This is not going to solve all your problems. Elections will not solve all your problems. I will be honest about that. And you may not be enthusiastic to participate, but you should participate. And the reason why you should participate is because of all of the challenges that this country has, we still have a chance to set it on the right direction. And if you look at any of our famous Black thinkers, men, women, trans folks from generations before and of today, they will all remind us that ultimately our macro change, if you're interested in overturning the Roe v. Wade Dobbs decision, if you're interested in improving opportunities for student loans and for mortgages to go down, if you're interested in just the chance that you may have in 2 years to vote in a democratic system where your vote counts, then you absolutely need to vote between now and November 8th.
202-3- Yep. Let me just give out the phone number, Reese, real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Dr. Perry has laid it down. He's told us why it's important to vote. So if you plan not to vote, if you just heard that set up by Dr. Perry, I can't see why you wouldn't go vote. But we also want to hear what's on your mind and some of the issues that are pertinent to you. 202-319-7810. Reese, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add one comment, though, on the abortion issue. We have to realize that in certain states, Wisconsin being one of them, abortion laws have been, these are trigger laws, are in place from 1849. In Arizona, it's a 1930s law. So we have to think about, as Black people, what kind of laws are on the books from the 1800s, from the 1900s, before we were even considered citizens? And do we want to go back to that time, as the caller earlier, Teresa, pointed out? There's so much at stake. Yes, abortion is the first opening salvo from this Supreme Court, but they're not done yet. And some of the things, some of the firewall that we have against that are the people that are in place as governor, as attorneys general, as secretary of state, as our congresspeople, who we allow at the federal level to help codify some of these rights. And so it started at abortion rights, but that is absolutely not where it's going to end. So if you think it doesn't affect you, just think about what kind of laws, racist laws across the country, are on the books that will be harmful to us, that if allowed to go into effect, will strip us of our citizenship and in some cases even of our humanity.
Michael Harriet, he joins us now. He is the host of the GRIO Black Podcast Network. Mr. Harriet, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What are your thoughts on these elections coming up? You know, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? What's your sense of how it may impact African-Americans and their engagement with this election that's going to be happening as of the 8th, even though early voting has started?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I always say, you know, there are a litany of reasons, and everybody has reasons why you should vote, but I always, you know, boil it down to, do you want white people making the decisions for you, right? And, you know, when we talk about elections, you know, we usually default to your congressman or your senator, but the stuff that affects you on a day-to-day basis, or you have actually more power, right? Like, there are millions of people who are voting for senator and congressman, but the people who decide the laws that you are most affected by, you know, you have a bigger impact. Your vote has a bigger impact. And as far as the elections, you know, what we're seeing around the country is it kind of dismantles many of the notions that we're seeing. There was this narrative that young people weren't voting. That's not what we're seeing here in Georgia. You know, there's always that narrative that Black people don't vote, although it's statistically not true, although we vote in lower percentages, we have to also factor in the number of the people that are disenfranchised by felony voting. We vote typically at higher percentages than white people in our same socioeconomic status. But, you know, because wealthier people tend to vote in higher percentages, and there's not a lot of African American wealthy people, then we see those disparities. So what we're seeing here is kind of unprecedented with the youth vote, with the turnout, and I think people are paying attention more to politics because they are seeing what could happen and what is happening when the other side, when people directly try to strip them of their rights.
Reese, Michael is talking about state elections, and Dr. Perry had spoken about it a little earlier. How do you get folks interested in state elections? They're county council folks, they're city council people, they're register of wills. All of these positions where most folks have no idea what they do, they may not even know about who the candidates are. It seems like it's an uphill battle once you get into these local elections, though they are closer to us. And as Michael say, they have the most impact on our lives. Those are the positions and folks running that we tend to be aware of the least and their issues that they stand on. So how do you get people more engaged in that? I know that's a big question, and I know that's been ongoing for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's critical. I'm married to a political official, to a commissioner in our town. And to Michael's point, white people are making decisions. They are engaged. And I'm not saying black people aren't, because we have a diverse town. And so if you want access to the way that government can work for you, for instance, in our town, we have utility relief. Nobody in the town actually accessed that benefit, even though 25% of the town is behind on their water utility bills. And so because people are not engaged at the local level, they are missing out on critical resources. I mean, the federal government funds things through the states, and then the states funnels that money down to your local officials. And so if you're not contacting, if you're not engaged with your election, with your school board, with your city council, if it's a ward or a city council or a town commission or a county council, whatever the case may be, these are the people that are actually doling out money that the federal government and even that the state government is giving you. And so don't check out of those processes. And then it's more than just the once every 2 years, 4 years, or whatever the election cycle is in your town voting. There are town meetings that happen on a frequent basis. And so if something isn't working for you, chances are you can get it to work for you if you do engage with these local and state officials. And they're in your neighborhoods, they're at your grocery stores, they're at your parks. And so they do work for you. And I do believe, being, like I said, married to one, that they do care about their citizens at a much deeper level than even what you'd see where somebody represents, you know, 40 million people, for instance, like the state of California senator. So please engage in those elections as well.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Our focus tonight on the Insight segment is the upcoming elections. And again, I say upcoming, but voting has already begun. The last day to vote will be election night, which is November 8th. The polls say it is trending that in terms of national elections that the Republicans will take over the House. The Senate seems to still be a toss-up. And this question I'll throw out for all three, and especially we want to hear from you, Michael, since you are based right now in Georgia. But I'm going to start with Dr. Perry. This race in Georgia, so much is going on in that state. Today, the Supreme Court ruled that U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham has to testify in that state inquiry and before a special grand jury looking into possible misconduct through President Trump, making calls in the 2020 election to have the Secretary of State find votes. And now we have Herschel Walker, the former Heisman Trophy winner, football star at the University of Georgia, running against current Senator Raphael Warnock, and that race is a toss-up. Dr. Perry, with all of the things that have come out about Herschel Walker, why is this race still so close?
Oh, God. We don't have enough time to answer that one. But I will say this, and one, I want to give a shout-out to Michael, because Michael has, I have not met him, but I'm glad to be in the line with him. I think one of the great opportunities that people in Michael's position have is to make politics make sense to most people who have not sat in a political science class. And that is most of the world, certainly most of the black voters. And I certainly have benefited from the plain speak of making it clear what is at stake in each and every election. Anyway, Michael, I've been reading you for years, and that I think is important to continue this message. Right now, I'm sitting outside. I'm in Tampa, Florida, where, you know, Val Demings is running for Senate, black woman running for Senate here. I'm sitting outside of a restaurant that my brother owns, Rose Bar Tampa, we just hosted an event a couple days ago trying to get out the black vote for this midterm election. And you know, I can say that what we have found is that when we pay attention, whether it be Georgia or Florida or Wisconsin, to the opposition and what they are trying to convince us of what is normal, and when we reject it, then when we do win. So Georgia has done this already. Georgia has, this is 2.0. When we think about January 6th, we think about the insurrection. We should also remember that it was on that day that the U.S. Senate changed control to Democratic control because of what happened in Georgia. So Georgia voters hopefully understand that they are the front line, that what happens in Georgia, what happens in Florida, what happens in Wisconsin, Arizona, Ohio, these are all key Senate races going on right now, will determine what happens in your life over the next couple of years and in your children's lives over the next generation and so on and so forth. And so Georgia is an interesting case. My last name, Perry, is from Georgia, slave name, tracing all the way back. And one thing I'm proud of this year is that both my paternal and paternal side, Arkansas, my mom's side, my dad's side in Georgia, both have black candidates for governor for the first time ever. And my hope is that black folks in these southern states where we have so much power to control what does happen do in fact show up. Yes, there's voter suppression. Yes, you're going to be lied to potentially and told to go vote in place X and you shouldn't vote in place Y. But we have to stay the course. And Georgia being close should tell us everything we need to know. And that is that millions of people are out there, millions, who do not want black people to receive the promissory note that Dr. King talks about in the I Have a Dream speech that dares claim that, yes, all of our rights are just as valid and just as meaningful as everyone else's. But we have to go out and show out with our vote. And when we do that, as black women did in Georgia 2 years ago, then we can see success. And success may be piecemeal, may be incremental, may be slow, but it is certainly better than the alternative. We're talking about black interest here. The question I would ask folks who are following this race in Georgia is, you've got two black candidates running for Senate, by the way. That in and of itself is historic. I have not ever seen that in American history until this election in Georgia. And so that is unique. And we have an opportunity to say that not every black person is the same. That as President Obama just said this past week, you know, do we want to vote for someone, you know, who has, you know, a philosophy degree, or vote for someone who won a few football games? That is the option that we have. And I think that we have to make clear that while we cannot dictate the outcome, we can certainly participate and ensure that our voices are heard so that when the outcome is rendered on November 8th or whenever a couple of days later we might get some final numbers, that we know that we've done our part. We've done what we could do. This is our country, too. It may not be the country that has treated us the best and recognized us from the beginning, but black Americans are Americans. And we have often been the saviors of this country. Do we have to do it? No. Do we have to participate in election after election and save the country from itself time and time again? No. But ought we do it? Absolutely.
And Michael, you are there in Virginia, and Reese, I'll be sure to get to you to get your thoughts on this. On the ground, are there enough black voters to carry Raphael Warnock to the finish line? Because many have said, you know, Herschel Walker was put up there for, you know, white folks to go, well, here's a black candidate I actually could vote for. So are there enough black votes to counter
the white vote that may not have voted for a black candidate but would vote for a former football star?
I think there are. I think we've seen it in Warnock's last run. And I think the turnout is going to be better than expected. And you know, what may end up helping Stacey Abrams and Warnock is Herschel Walker, right? Like we really don't hear as much about Raphael Warnock as we hear about the crazy things that Herschel Walker says. And I think, like, what may help them both is people may see them on TV and say, man, we can't let this guy in, right? Like, just any, like, he is...
Would it be more of those Republican voters? Would it be more of those Republican voters deciding not to vote? Say they'd vote for Governor Kemp, but not pull a ballot for Walker, but not necessarily vote for Warnock, but just stay out of having to say they voted for Herschel Walker?
Well, it may be that. And it also may be, you know, black voters deciding the same thing on the opposite direction, right? Like, we can't attribute, you know, the success of Warnock or Abrams to white people when we are the ones who got them in the position that they are in. And I think that one of the things that we forget about or don't know when we're talking about the Republican Party, and especially in the South, is how prevalent and diehard Republicanism is in this area, right? Like, so when you're in D.C. or when you're in most other states, you know, you see a Trump supporter every now and then, but most of the white people here are Trump supporters. You see the hats and mm-hmm. the bumper stickers. And so, you know, you're fighting an uphill battle, but we also remember you asked earlier about why would they vote for them. And you have to realize, like, they're not voting for candidates. They're voting for sides. They're voting for an ideology. They have been raised and ingrained with the idea that it is against their religion, against their moral values to believe in the equality of black people, to believe in the idea of progressive politics. All of those things are reinforced through dog whistles about pronouns and about LGBTQIA people, and against every second of their lives, that ideology is reinforced. And so when they go into that voting booth, we can't even attribute what they're doing to logic and reason. We can't explain it that way. That is what they're going to do. And what we have to do is organize and create a coalition that can beat that. Because we can't out-explain it. We have to organize amongst ourselves. We are never going to convince them to be reasonable, logical, or use, you know, data or science.
Reese,
what they're going to do is what they're going to do.
Reese, as we wind down, I'll give you the last comment on this, and I'll just add, do you believe that there are black folks in Georgia that would actually vote for Herschel Walker?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's still an icon in Georgia, and prior to a lot of the controversy, he was doing quite well, and he was somewhat attractive, I think, to a lot of voters, and particularly to black men. But I think that there's a backlash that's coming because I think that he's just so beyond the pale in terms of his unfitness and his, you know, record, that black men pretty much are saying, coming out, I think, in full force and saying, this is not who we want to represent us. But to end on, I just want to point out, since we're talking about the South and voters, the Senate candidate down there, Gary Chambers, posted about how today, and this was a couple of days ago, there are 25,000 black people who voted in Louisiana. The reality is there are 900,000 black voters in Louisiana, and it only took 500-something thousand voters for John Neely Kennedy to win last time. And so the numbers are on our side if we come out and vote. But across the South, there tends to be lower turnout, not just for black voters, but for voters in general. So if we pick this time to really be activated and really come out, then we can see Chris Jones in Arkansas become the first black man governor. We can see Gary Chambers win without having to do a runoff. We can see Raphael Warnock hold on to his seat. We can see Stacey Abrams, become the governor. So we do have the power. We have the numbers. We just have to use it.
And in Arkansas, obviously, Sarah Huckabee has the name recognition. So that race nationally has kind of been a bit under the radar. So much to look at. I mean, there's so much more we could talk about. We could go for another hour. All three of you, just your expertise and your insight has just been fantastic. Dr. Ravi Perry, former chair of the Department of Political Science at Howard University. Reese Colbert, founder of Black Women Views and also a political analyst. And Michael Harriet, host of the Griot Black Podcast Network. I thank all three of you so much for being with us and, again, helping to guide this very important conversation. As all three of our guests have said, get out to vote. If you haven't done so far, early voting is open, especially here in the DMV. Do so. If you're going to wait till November 8th, make sure you pull that ballot at least for someone. That is the Insight segment for this Tuesday, the 1st of November. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.